Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover, hear their personal stories, find out how they became so successful,
learn their secrets, and join them at the top.
Seriously Buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswad.
Hey everybody, I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Welcome to another awesome episode of VO Buzz Weekly.
That's right. And today we have our good friend Dave Sebastian Williams. Dave is the owner of Dave and Dave Studios here in Los Angeles. It's a very, very famous studio. And he's also the creator of the VoiceOver Resource Guide, which happens to be the Bible of the industry. And we're going to talk all about it today. We're celebrating
their 25th year of
That's big news.
That. It is.
That's big news.
We're going to talk all about it, and we're going to do that right now. Our guest is a versatile voice talent with hundreds of credits to his name and decades of experience. He is also the owner of Dave and Dave Studios right here in LA and the creator of the ultimate VO tool, the VoiceOver Resource Guide. And we're going to talk all about it. We are so excited to get buzzed with our great friend, Dave Sebastian Williams.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Put it there, buddy.
Hey.
It's been a long time coming, man.
Thank you for wearing an awesome shirt because you always have great, colorful, vibrant clothes, and I was hoping you weren't
gonna, I can.
We told Dave, Dave, wear something that matches the colors of our set, and then he wears that, which is perfect.
Yes.
Bringing a little
white balanced on this inside turn.
Yeah, he's like, hey, are you guys going to white balance on my hair?
No,
we're not going to do that.
Here we go, everybody.
Yes.
I like the life right in the middle of your shirt.
That's cool. Yes.
It's beautiful.
Very smart.
That's beautiful.
Smart.
That shirt takes you on a journey, man.
Well, this shirt, the reason I purchased this shirt is because of my former agent, Vanessa Gilbert.
Yeah.
And if anyone knows Vanessa,
which everybody does,
she is this type of, and she told me about a particular place called Jams.
Okay.
And whether they exist still or not, but they used to be at the top of the hill, Daly City, as I call it, which is City Walks. And went up there and picked up a bunch of shirts
years ago,
and I still wear them from
good
time
quality.
To time.
They're still going strong, just like you, Dave.
You should get me a shirt
good quality.
Like that.
Still going
so
strong.
It'll look good, right?
I'm going strong.
Well, hey, man, let's dive into this interview here, because we want to find out a lot about you and all the wonderful, incredible things that you do and have brought to this.
You
amazing,
don't know much about me, actually.
You know what? I know more about you than you think.
Maybe so.
Yeah, so.
There's some
blogs
out there.
Because you are, in my book, you are definitely a superstar.
Yeah.
But how did you get started? Let's go way back. I want to find out, how did you get your start in the voiceover industry to begin with?
Well, it all started around fourth grade.
Fourth grade?
Yep. I was asked to go to the principal's office, and they said, would you like to read into the homerooms every day the layout and the lunch and that sort of thing. I started doing that, and on and off throughout all my academic years, I did that. So I'd go in and read those things, you know, that you hear in the, you know.
I remember
that. And sometimes
that.
it's the teacher, you know, the one teacher who thinks he's, you know, cool. Or sometimes they turn it on to the students, and I started that and started taking up drums at the same time. And
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, since I'm eight, I've been playing drums, and it's one of those things. I don't play professionally now. I did back in the school years, and I was in a USO show, and typical things of a drummer, you know, trying to find his place.
We're going
to
talk about drummers later.
Okay.
I want to talk about voiceover right now.
Well, a voice, part of it is
we're throwing him back.
Yeah. You start somewhere, and you don't have a clue where you're headed, but you start there, and then you decide that I kind of like this, and then I got more into music and more into sports and more into music and more into sports, and then after I came back from throughout, almost through high school, came back from a USO tour, spent my first summer traveling with a USO show between my junior and my senior year. And my senior year, we went off to France, Italy, and Germany on a USO show and had a great time. But that was during my first semester of school. After the first semester of school, I had to come back and take my finals. Mm-hmm. I came back, took those. You know, by that time, I'd figured out, you know, you have to have three music classes and two phys ed classes and things of that nature if you want to coast.
Yeah.
You know, and then one free period as well in the day. So we did that for the longest time of just figuring out what we're going to do. And then I decided that I would go into music. And I had a speech, English and public speaking teacher pulled me aside and he said, you don't want to go into music. And I said, why? He said, you'll be traveling all over the country. It's a
women
terrible life.
Women will be throwing themselves
it's
at you.
It's just a terrible life. You're not going to like it. He was the disc jockey on the local AM station in town, which was the top 40 station. Mm-hmm. He was on nights from 9 to midnight, my speech teacher. And he said, why don't you get into radio? You know, you do all these public speaking announcements and things like that at school. Why don't you get into radio? It'd be great for you. So I got into radio, and in the first maybe 6 years of radio, I moved 17 times. I just moved from station to station to station, the city to city to city, and finally I got to L.A. As a disc jockey fairly quickly for a young guy.
That's one way of getting to L.A. Right there, yeah.
Well, I got
to
L.A. That's a lot of moving around. Yeah, the musician part may have been less, yeah.
Yeah, the musician thing, you know, I would probably have liked to do that, and now I look back at it saying, geez, why don't I just start a group at 90 years old? That's what I am.
Why
now.
Not? Today, listen, we have iTunes now.
90.
Yes. Okay. And so at 90, I'm deciding to start a band.
At 90.
Not so
happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
And I think June Foray is going to be in the band, too.
Yes. Oh, and is her name? She's on The Voice right now.
Oh, E.G. Daily.
E.G. Daily.
She can be one of your lead singers. Oh,
yes. I get those.
She rocks.
It
right?
is The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
I get those two shows so confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. So throughout high school and all that time, I was doing, you know, as much announcing as I could get. And I did all the announcing when I was on stage with the band. I did all the talking, even from behind the drums. I was sort of the front man behind the drums.
Right, right.
Doing all that. And it just worked out that, boom, I went right into radio. And radio sort of led to, I think I can do this. When I got to L.A., I was in Orange County for a couple of years, almost 3 years. And while I was in Orange County, started doing a lot of spots at the radio station for local accounts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those commercials led me to believe that I could compete against the big guys.
Yeah.
And I was one of the few guys that understood we were just the fodder between the real advertising money at the radio station.
Right.
We're just the middle part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We bring people to hear the commercials.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And the music brings people to hear the commercials. So we decided, I always have a little someone going on in my head. We decided that maybe I can drive to LA and learn to do this. So I drove to LA. I studied with a fellow named Ed Manirth for a while. And as an actor, as a voice actor and an actor, he taught me how to hold copy in front of a camera. Little strange little things for audition. He was just a terrific teacher. And then I started going to Joni Gerber. And Joni Gerber had workshops, voiceover workshops. She's the guru she was the Mel Blanc, the female Mel Blanc at the time.
Yeah.
And very learned, very sharp. I mean, her ear was so tuned. So I started with her in her workshop and then started taking other workshops. Bill Bell's workshop.
Yeah.
From Bell Sound, a fellow named Johnny Rabbit was in his workshop for a while. My daughter even went to his workshop years later. And from that, I started, looking for an agent. Called a fellow named Don Pitts, terrific agent in this city.
Yeah.
And he's now retired from that.
Mm-hmm.
And was Casey Kasem's agent at the time. And still sort of, you know, was, even in recent years, managing all of Casey's sort of career things, and sadly enough, Casey is in not good shape right now. But going back to Don, I called the agency, Charles Stern Agency, and they said, "No, I'm sure Don doesn't have time to talk. No, please, can I?" He was a disc jockey in San Francisco when I was growing up, And I said, I'm a disc jockey in Orange County. And he immediately picked up the phone. He said, listen, I don't have time to really talk to you. Can you come by some evening? Mm. And so some evening, like at 6 o'clock, I show up and these guys are still going in and auditioning. And I'm seeing guys in the lobby that, you know, great voices, and Casey, and I mean, literally people still going into audition. About 7:15, I'm still sitting out there lonely. Everyone's gone home. Don Pitts calls me in. Hey man, how's it going? Let's sit down and talk. Da 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 da. I told him that I used to listen to him in the Bay Area as a disc jockey when I was going to high school and junior high, and we sat there until like 2 a.m.
Wow.
Talking.
Wow.
Just talking. He called his wife twice during that time period to say, honey, really, I'm just here. Listen how quiet it is.
Yeah, I'm living in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I swear I'm here. Yeah. And I'm just talking with a guy about radio. And he said, I can't take you on, but I'll send you out from time to time. Charlie, the owner of the agency, he won't let me take you on. So I said, fine. 2 or 3 weeks go by. He sends me out for a Chevy spot. And I get it. Out of just, you know, I was the young Turk. Whatever they wanted, I was the kid, the up-and-coming kid for that moment. And I got this campaign. And Don Pitts then signed me at the Charles Stern Agency, which is what I wanted in the beginning. And because I landed something, of course, they want their 10%.
Of course.
Most contracts you sign with agents are for the agents. They protect the agents. Don't worry about signing with an agent. If an agent wants to bring you in, all you want are the opportunities, chances at bat. What you don't have to worry about is a real contract. Contract protects them in getting their 10%. They can't take money from you unless there's a signed contract. Okay. So.
Aha!
Good sidebar.
That's right.
That's a good one.
So Don Pitts signed me, and then shortly thereafter, Don Pitts leaves the agency. Well, I'm still there floundering. No one likes me. I go into the on-camera department, and the on-camera department says, no, you don't look like an on-camera guy.
Yeah.
So I immediately rushed home, looked at the TV, and the TV, there were real people on TV. I'm looking in the mirror, looking at TV, saying, wait a minute. real people? Not real? Okay, maybe I'm not a real guy. I don't know. And that particular agent, I didn't go back to see again. Don Pitts showed up in another agency. I called. I went over there. Sonya Warren Brandon's Commercials Unlimited, I think it was called. So I went to that agency for a while, and that was a lot of fun. Don brought me in. I got a little business going on there. And then Don up and leaves there.
Goodness, and he's, Don.
And he leaves the business for a little while.
I'm surprised you didn't get tired of running around.
Wow, what's going on? So I jump ship, and I go somewhere else, whatever agency it was at the time. And then I come back to Don Pitts again at the Wormser Agency, which changed name to Joseph Helfond and Ricks, or whatever the name of the agency was at the time. And I'm with Don Pitts again. And then leave Don Pitts.
Did he think you were like stalking him or something? No. You kept following him around?
Well, the strangest thing about going to that particular agency, or it might have been Abrams Rubeloff, I was on the air one day, and Anderson Graphics, who used to print all of the headshots for actors and print all the boxes for our tapes. And our tapes were reel-to-reel back
reel
in the
day. Reel-to-reels, yeah.
5-inch reel-to-reels. And they called one day. I was on the air, and they put the call through. Your tape box labels are ready. Well, my tape box labels are ready. They have the new agency that I know Don is with, and I haven't even spoken with them. They've got that logo on the box, so I think, I best call Don Pitts to see
out.
He said the same thing. He said, listen, Dave, I can't take you on right now. And it was Abrams Rubeloff. I can't take you on right now because they won't let me bring anyone on. But, you know, I said, Don, do you mind if I do my own promotion, will you at least field a phone call if they come in? Okay, I'll tell my girl, Vanessa Gilbert.
Nice.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
This was when she was very, very young.
Yeah.
We were both very young at one time in our lives.
Yeah, of course. We all were.
It's a true story.
Yeah, it's a true story, folks.
Yeah. So Vanessa Gilbert then hears my name for the first time, knows I'm not a client, but if call comes through, let's field it. So I'm throwing all my tapes out. This is when Bo and myself and a bunch of guys in town were throwing tapes out like crazy. I mean, we were just throwing out 300, 400 at a time doing mailings. And of course, you land a little something, you get a little nibble on something, and they pick up the phone. They don't call me because I only have Don Pitts and Abrams Rubeloff on the box. So they call Abrams Rubeloff. eventually I signed with Abrams Rubeloff. Tom Pitts leaves Abrams Rubeloff.
Oh, sweet Lord.
I mean, it just goes on and on.
I need a snack. It's one thing after another.
So I went with, now time has passed, and I end up going with Vanessa Gilbert at a place called Talent Group Inc.
Yeah.
TGI.
TGI.
And I'm with Vanessa at TGI and everything, and I'm meeting lots of people there and learning more about voiceover and still taking workshops. And then I decided, okay, I think it's time to stop taking workshops and start teaching my own workshop. So I decided to do that about the same time that Don called and said, hey, I'm over here and I'd like you to do a game show read or something.
Yeah.
A game show read. Okay. So I put together a game show reel and I take it to Don and he says, you know, I don't think they're really going to keep anyone, or rather bring anyone on in the game show area, but I want you to do this game show. Okay, fine. Here's a reel. Maybe you can submit it to somebody. Next thing I know, I get a game show. I'm building a studio in Hollywood because I want some place to be when I'm not working. Mm-hmm. And I've pretty much given up on radio, and I left radio. I've been in and out of radio a bunch of different stations. I worked at KISS a number of times. I worked at KFI. I worked at, you know, all the
big
stations.
Yeah.
93 KHJ here in town. And so I decided, okay, that's it. I'm going to do game shows, build a studio, and teach a workshop. Okay. So I'm now teaching a workshop out of my studios and also doing things like, oh, this was a fun treat. I put together, this was very interesting. I put together a postcard to cast, and I called my casting company Sunset Audition Group. And it was on the little marquee at the front of the building when you come in. And so we would get calls. People would buzz us. Is this SAG? Is this SAG? Is this SAG? Because it's SAG. Okay.
Yeah.
SAG.
But I put a postcard together, and Bob Lloyd, the voice caster, who was my guru and helped me put my demo reels together for a number of years and listened to everything that I did and said, no, move this one first in the position. Move this one to the fifth. Take that crap off your reel and that sort of thing. You always have to let someone else hear your demo
Absolutely.
Reel. You have to let someone else hear your demo reel. Not just your ears.
Yeah.
Your ears lie to you all too often.
Exactly.
Okay, let someone else hear it. Let them decide with you. Okay, so I make up this postcard. Next thing I hear, guy comes into the studio and he says, hey, I just saw your postcard. And I said, oh, really? Some ad agency, something, you know. I was looking to cast for ad agencies and such. And he said, no, I saw it over at Bob Lloyd. He'd blown it up and made a poster out of it.
Yeah.
And he was throwing darts at it.
No, he was not.
Because I noted on the card, this is what Bob Lloyd does in casting. And the voice caster, I mean, he's the genius that came up with the whole idea of voice casting.
Yeah.
And this is what SAG,
Sunset
Audition Group, does. Bob Lloyd charges this. I'd done some ferreting out.
Oh, my God.
And knew what his numbers were.
Yeah.
And we charge zero if you book the session with us. If you book us later for the real session.
Yeah.
We'll audition for nothing if you book the session. Well, that peeved him off. So it was one of those situations where it was funny for a moment, but for 10 years I didn't go into Bob Lloyd, the voice caster.
Oh, my gosh.
I was in the Winnebago, I'm told.
But
that was his term.
Yeah, but now you guys are really good friends, probably.
Well, we
have. Has he forgiven you?
Well, no, he did forgive me.
Okay.
I went to Herb Cannon for a while. I went to that agency.
No one remembers what happened.
He did forgive me, and I went. They finally called and said, 10 years later, though.
What did you learn from that experience about?
What was that experience?
You put this on your
flyer. No.
You were being a businessman, that's all.
But I mean,
you know, it goes all the way back to school. I've never been one to dawdle, screw around. I mean, I do party hard when I party, but when I'm working, I'm working it. Mm-hmm. I'm always working it. You know, idle hands, you know what the good book says.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's the devil's playground. So I don't want that. I'm always working on something.
Yeah.
Some little things going on, and I, you know, some of them don't get tied up correctly, but I'm still working on lots of things all the time.
Yeah.
And that's where that led.
You're creative people, just get creative, man.
Right.
You're not meaning to steal things, or you just want to make things better, offer a better opportunity, a better service, all that stuff. It's all good.
Well, and you also have, which I respect, one of the things I respect about you is you have very strong opinions.
Yeah.
I think.
And
yeah.
They may not always be right.
No, exactly that. And
no,
I'm told that all too often.
But you have a point of view, and I, yes. you know, I respect that about you. Yeah. That yeah. You're very clear. There's never a, well, I wonder what Dave thinks. Or you're very direct, which yeah. sometimes works and sometimes
yeah.
doesn't.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I mean, you and I have been doing business for years, man. And it's like, and the reason for that yeah. is because you do good business. You know, you don't guide people to a blind spot. You know what I mean? And neither do I. I've referred a ton of people to you. You've always referred people to me. And because we both know that we're clean, we're clean.
We're clean.
Yeah, we're so I want to talk about.
Okay.
I want to talk about your awesome Dave and Dave Studios here in Los Angeles, because everybody goes there to record and do their ISDN sessions. I know Stacy works out of there a lot, and Jess Harnell and all these big people. How did that whole, what made you want to build that studio?
At first, when I was doing the game show, I wanted a studio to hang out in. I wanted someplace in the general vicinity, not at home. I wanted to take everything out of my home and work somewhere. So yeah. I built a studio.
Right.
Then, as things changed technologically yeah. as well, I brought some of that studio home. I sold the studio in Hollywood to another group of guys. And then after working, doing dubs and buying, you know, 40 cart machines and, you know, cassette machines rather, yeah. and doing cassette dubs for people and that sort of thing, and running my workshop and building demo reels, yeah. as you do, and you make the finest, and I've heard them all in town.
Hold
you
on.
Make the
Let's
finest.
Have a moment of silence oh, because
the
Dave
finest
Sebastian
demo
Williams.
Reels in town.
Wow.
There's no
wow.
question about it.
Thank you for
and
that.
And I've heard
that
them
means
all.
A lot.
And a lot of people came to me to then do dubs. Because they'd need 40, 50, 60, 80 for their agents, which now it's all MP3, mm-hmm. but then they needed a physical piece.
Yeah.
So Terry, my wife, decided.
Your
she
wonderful,
said,
beautiful,
indeed,
awesome
she is.
Wife.
She decided, you know that extra bedroom we have? We've got a deep closet in there. Why don't we start dubs in that closet? And so we took the closet doors off and we put the 40 cassette machines in there, a dual cassette wow. deck, so it's 80. We started them with one click after you know.
Yeah.
It was the greatest thing. We started that. And then we built, and we were on Lankershim at the time, pretty much,
yeah.
In Toluca Lake. So we built a studio right up the street from us and opened that in 98. It was a one-room studio. And then we decided to enlarge that. Before the crash, the economical yeah. crash, mm-hmm. In 07, we moved to this other facility. We have three rooms. It works terrifically.
It's a great place.
We have
yeah.
great engineers. I've always had terrific engineers.
Yeah.
I try to treat everyone as an equal
yeah.
and that they get it and let them do their thing. And they do. And it's just a warm, comfortable place.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, we love Terry. Christina,
indeed.
She's
yeah.
the first person
terrific.
You see
yeah.
and the last
terrific.
Person you see. Brian, yeah. amazing engineer. Yeah. I mean, you have yeah. a great team.
Yeah.
I mean, you go in there, and it's kind of a bummer because everything is running so beautifully there. You're like, oh, I'm done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah,
want because you
there
don't want to leave.
Letdown.
It's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
Not
and,
just because of the jelly beans. But.
Yes, and I do recommend that every, you know, I recommend often to actors, just come by. If you're in the area, just come by and hang out. Use our Wi-Fi or whatever it's called. And, you know.
Wi-Fi. On,
yeah, and do your tweeting
Wi-Fi
right here.
ISDN.
Yes.
You know, if you
tweet
want to tweet from Dave and Dave.
Yeah, tweet. Come to Dave and Dave and tweet.
Go into Cafe Dave. We have a little room set
yes.
up for Cafe Dave. Mm-hmm. And just hang out. You know, it's not going to bother us.
Well, and so for people who don't know, what are services that you provide at Dave?
We provide all services to ad agencies, production companies, direct clients. We have all recording facilities. We go to finish on products, on projects. We can take a film and finish it audially. We have
So post-production?
All post-production.
Wow.
We have Foley pits in Studio A. We've done a lot of ADR work and Foley work. We provide all audio production, period. Post-production, pre-production. We do casting now. More and more
yeah.
clients are asking us to cast.
Yeah.
That's just part of the business. We're in the service business.
Yeah.
And if they ask us to cast, Of course we will.
Yeah.
We know where all the bodies are buried in this town. Yeah. We know where, you know, my lovely
Some
wife was an
buried yourself,
agent, you buried yourself. Yeah,
agent for years. Terry was an agent for years, an on-camera agent.
Yeah.
Had her own agency for a while as well. She's worked at a lot of the great agencies in town that handled children primarily, and then started her own adult agency. So she knows how to cast, and she knows what to listen for. Mm-hmm. And when they come to us,
of course
we do.
Yeah, you and Terry are a powerful combination. Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
What you both bring to the table.
We love what we do, and I've said this a million times, and everyone should hope that I win the lottery because if I do, a free studio for you, period.
Wow.
There will be a studio set up with multiple rooms, and it's just free to actors, period. Free. That's what I want to do for actors.
So I'm an actor. Buy Dave a lottery ticket, for God's sake.
I've gone like this in my career. I've had great years and not so great years, and then starving years, and then terrific years again.
Yeah.
I've done it on camera and voiceover both. So the important thing is to make sure the actors are taken care of. And I think we do that at Dave and Dave. That's the
the
largest part of our philosophy is to take care of all the clients on both sides of the glass.
Yeah.
And now that we don't see physical clients at our location very often any longer, because clients don't come in, only the voiceover people do, and some of them don't come in any longer because they're at home and we're ISDN connecting with them and then phone patch the director in.
Yeah.
At the old Dave and Dave, I would simply have agents call me and say, what do you mean the director can't come to your studio? No, we don't allow directors. My booth was so small that it was the booth and the engineer.
and that's
all we had room for.
Yeah, we don't allow directors.
It's exactly
we
what
can't.
I said.
I love
and my
that.
Own agent screaming at me on the phone, what do you mean?
Are you crazy?
He's just called me from the car out front. He's sitting out front. He's going to direct via phone patch out front of your building because there's not... I said, sorry.
That is the funniest
that's
thing
who we
I
were.
Have ever heard.
That's who we
crowded.
Were at the time.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's why we decided to go to larger facilities because we were losing 3 and 4 people in the booth and directors coming. Mm-hmm. And then directors really have stopped coming.
Yeah.
I mean, tomorrow we have a session where we're going to have the director, the client, and a couple of the account people. But that's not very often.
Yeah, that's unusual.
And that's only because I think a celebrity is going to be there. So the celebrity voiceover person is going to be there.
And everybody then wants to meet them, shake their hand, give them a little
take
kiss,
a picture, a autograph, tweet it, post it,
make
on
an
Facebook.
Extra couple $1,000.
That's always part of the deal. To take care of the actor that's the celebrity. So.
Exactly. Listen, man, you are a very successful voice actor. You are, you are an extremely successful businessman. Okay? So you're the talent and you're the business. How important in today's era is it to have both of those sides really solid?
Well, they do call it show business for a damn good reason.
Yeah.
You have to have the ability to deal with a client. I loved when I used to drive down Wilshire Boulevard and go into the ad agencies, you meet the person that's going to hire you a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So that, to shake their hand and say hello, that's where you learn under fire not to blow it. Mm. And I'd already learned that. I'd had a bunch of little companies all through radio ad companies and what have you, ad agency companies and such, you know, booking for nightclubs and bands and things of that nature. So I'd already learned to deal with the clients, but on sort of a creative side, I wasn't the suit guy, the sales guy. I was more the creative guy. So I could, you know, hey, buddy, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's important to learn that it is a business. And those people, there are those that will not have to deal with the business side of it all. And they'll step through it with no understanding of the business side and succeed.
Yeah.
Well, that's not everyone. I have to work hard at succeeding.
Yeah.
And part of my working hard at succeeding is knowing both sides. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can get difficult because I know from time to time, agents would say, oh, he's already busy over there. He's doing that thing, that business thing he's doing, which would bother me somewhat. I would have to say to them from time to time, listen, voice acting and on camera at the time, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I have a postcard that, may I? Yeah. Grab this postcard.
You can do whatever you want. This is your show.
Okay, I have a postcard.
You're the guest.
Okay, hold on. Hey, where's that postcard? Here's a postcard.
You got a wallet in there?
Here's a postcard.
This
is a postcard years ago I sent out. Yeah. This is my daughter in a little bubble above her head, and myself in a bubble above my head. And it says, Heather, what does Daddy do for a living? Heather says, audition. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, let me see that.
I want to audition.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? Dave Sebastian Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a minute, there's more. Look at that.
Oh,
look at that handsome man.
Oh, wait, if we're doing that.
So you were doing...
my mother sent me some pictures. She's long gone, but God bless her. She was so sweet.
You were diving into the business of voiceover before.
Here, hold that up to the camera, doctor.
Wow. Oh, my God. 93 KHJ. Look at that.
Wait a minute.
Look at that
hair, ladies and gentlemen.
No. You know who you look like? You know who you look like? You look like... Anthony Geary in the Luke and Laura days.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, that is like...
This was before Anthony, before Tony Geary.
Yeah. Wow.
I love the license plate. I'm a DJ.
Yeah, I'm a DJ.
See, and this is the original thing. Now,
wow.
I'd like to tell you...
You need to make sure you keep these well...
Look what year that was. How sad.
Can you read
that? But true.
93. Oh, no, that's the
statue. May 21st,
1974.
Woo! Wow, Dave. Yeah.
You go, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's part of my history.
It is,
man. Do you
man.
Know what you Los know? Angeles' favorite album was?
In 74?
Mm-hmm. Trivia.
Well, one of them had to be EJ's. Elton John.
Uh-huh. Well, he was number three, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
Amazing. Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run.
Band on the Run. Yeah, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did we all play it?
Yeah. Wow.
Did we all play it this way as well?
Yeah.
This way as well. Everyone played it, sure.
Wow, man.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Listen, don't worry. We're not going to steal these from you. We're going to give them back to you, but we're just going
to
set them here.
I had to pay for that on the internet. I paid 50 cents.
You had to buy your own.
No, I don't know.
Your own memorabilia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for you today. Be back next week for part two with Dave Sebastian Williams.
And keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, you guys, at VO Buzz Weekly. We'll see you next week, and just remember,
you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VO Buzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VO Buzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Duran's Demos That Rock. The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you. Visit demosthatrock.com and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.